Welcome to Midnight Signals, where we blur the lines between myth and reality and illuminate the extraordinary stories that challenge our understanding of the world. I am Russ Chamberlain, and tonight we delve into an astonishing account that unfolds in the mountains of Kandahar, Afghanistan. At the heart of this narrative is an entity described by American soldiers as a towering red-haired giant encountered under the most harrowing conditions imaginable. Those who claim first-hand knowledge of the event describe it in stark, matter-of-fact detail. A missing patrol, a hidden cave, a confrontation that left at least one soldier dead, and a quick secretive extraction of a colossal body. Accounts say the giant exceeded 10 feet in height, possessed immense strength, and matched descriptions of biblical or ancient lore giants. The soldiers who engaged in combat with it insist they faced a flesh and blood creature, no myth or metaphor. In doing so, they collided head-on with ideas that most would relegate to the realm of legend. For those unfamiliar with Kandahar, it is a fierce land of scalding deserts and maze-like mountains, an environment that has tested conquerors for centuries. One might imagine insurgents or warlords in its valleys, but few expect to find a being echoing the pages of Old Testament scripture or older folklore. Yet here we stand, confronted by the testimony of service members who swear they encountered exactly that. Over the course of this episode, we will explore the geography and cultural backdrop of Kandahar, reconstruct the fateful incident in which troops met the giant, draw parallels to biblical references, examine Afghanistan's own folklore, and consider how authorities responded to something so far outside normal classification. If the story is genuine, it has implications that ripple across our scientific assumptions and historical narratives, suggesting that some beings we label as mythical may still exist in remote corners of our modern world. Take a seat, let your imagination breathe, and prepare for a journey that merges 21st century warfare with echoes of ancient giants. If you believe we've cataloged every creature in the world, what you're about to hear might prompt a serious re-evaluation. Let us begin. The story of the giant of Kandahar is woven into a territory that remains, in many respects, untamed by modern standards. Kandahar province sprawls across southern Afghanistan, featuring scorched deserts at lower elevations and jagged, rocky mountains rising from the plateau. Days can see the sun beating down with punishing intensity, while nights in the foothills turn abruptly cold. Rugged passes wind through these mountains, some accessible only by mule or on foot. Natural caves form in the limestone or granite, enlarged here and there by human hands over centuries, often for shelter, storage, or strategic defense. This environment has long shaped Afghanistan's history and the psyche of its people. Empires have come and gone, from Alexander's forces in antiquity to more recent coalitions in the aftermath of September 11th. Every army that has marched into Kandahar found that the harsh conditions erode morale and complicate logistics. Vehicles can stall in dusty conditions, radio signals fail in deep valleys, and dust storms reduce visibility to mere meters. Navigating this landscape is an exercise in humility. The local population, meanwhile, has adapted across generations, developing an intimate knowledge of hidden water sources, sheltered canyons, and passable routes through otherwise impassable terrain. Post-9/11, American and Allied troops established outposts throughout the province. Patrols became routine, though routine in Kandahar never truly feels safe or predictable. Units reported everything from intense gunfights to eerie calm in deserted hamlets. Some soldiers spoke of the land itself feeling watchful, a place that might withhold its secrets or reveal them at devastating moments. Among these secrets, if soldier testimonies are to be trusted, was a living giant. Those accounts emphasize that the giant's existence did not come to light in bustling areas or near a large base, but in a remote mountain zone seldom frequented. The relative isolation meant fewer eyes, fewer rumors, and a plausible scenario in which a massive creature could exist unobserved. Caves in this region can extend for kilometers, branching into labyrinth tunnels that remain uncharted. If an entity of immense strength inhabited these tunnels, it could avoid detection indefinitely, surfacing only when forced by hunger, curiosity, or intrusion. Moreover, the mindset of Kandahar is worth noting. Soldiers deployed here often operate on high alert, scanning rocky ridges for potential ambushes or improvised explosive devices. Their stress levels remain elevated, especially on extended missions far from a main base. Under normal circumstances, that stress translates into vigilance against human threats, not creatures that break the mold of a documented species. Yet, the environment fosters a constant sense of unpredictability, and in rare instances, something unimaginable can emerge from the gloom of a cave. Local tribes, typically Pashtuns in these rural zones, maintain their own legends. Their stories may be shaped by Islamic beliefs, older pre-Islamic customs, or purely regional folklore. Some legends speak of cave spirits, or jinn, intelligent beings that can assume various forms. Occasionally, references hint at monstrous guardians that dwell in remote crags, punishing trespassers. These might sound fantastical to an outsider, but to those living in the region, they're a part of the cultural tapestry. The synergy of a soldier's new environment, local cautionary tales, and the stark reality of a missing patrol can create a potent cocktail of dread and open-mindedness. In that precise setting, the claim of encountering a towering humanoid becomes less easily dismissed. Kandahar, after all, has a track record of surprising outsiders. Some special operations teams have documented entering cave complexes expecting militant hideouts, only to find elaborate underground chambers possibly used for centuries. Artifacts, skeletons from long-forgotten inhabitants, or hidden stashes of weapons can lie undisturbed until a patrol quite literally stumbles on them. The region's inaccessibility is key. Only a fraction of these caves have ever been mapped. Fewer have been explored in detail, and local knowledge typically remains oral. That environment is a natural habitat for secrets, be they of historical or living origin. Soldiers who have served multiple tours often speak of feeling like they're stepping back in time. Houses built of mud bricks cluster in valleys. People travel on donkey back or by foot, carrying on traditions that date to the medieval period or earlier. Seeing that cultural continuity can be jarring for troops from a digital age. If a giant from biblical references truly survives here, away from satellites and motorized roads, it's not entirely inconceivable that the environment's natural defenses kept it hidden. Such was the world the missing patrol ventured into, a mesmerizing yet perilous land that devours conventional expectations. The environment stands as more than a backdrop. It's an active agent shaping every detail of the alleged confrontation with the giant. The mountains provide cover, the caves a lair, and the local hush about hidden threats offers the final ingredient in a potent brew that no standard field manual could address. The encounter at the core of this story arises from a very tangible military concern, a patrol that failed to check in. In these mountains, missing communications can stem from many things: ambush, equipment failure, or navigational error. But as hours became a day or more, superiors feared the worst. They dispatched a second team to retrace the missing unit's last known route. Soldier testimony indicates that this second team arrived in an area of steep ravines and rocky overhangs where normal vehicle passage was nearly impossible. They had continued on foot, picking up faint evidence of the missing patrol's path. Scattered footprints, bits of torn fabric, a dropped radio, or spent shell casings might have signaled a skirmish. But with who? At first, the search party assumed insurgents had ambushed the earlier patrol. That assumption would vanish quickly. What struck them as odd was the pattern of footprints. Some appeared normal, others larger and deeper, as though made by someone extremely heavy. But because the region was littered with cracks and loose stones, it was difficult to piece together a coherent trail. Eventually, the team found more definitive clues. Fragments of gear, perhaps a pack or helmet, lying near a shadowy cave entrance hidden among boulders. No signs of insurgent presence, no typical camouflage or tribal attire, no footprints matching local footwear. Instead, everything pointed to a violent struggle that ended abruptly, as if the enemy had dragged the missing patrol inside the cave. At the cave's threshold, The second team presumably radioed in. That radio call might show the first mention of something truly bizarre. Some sources say the team stumbled upon footprints so large that even the tallest soldier among them could not match stride for stride. Others mention sensing a foul odor from within, rotting flesh or stagnant air from deep subterranean pockets. As they braced to enter, weapons ready, they had minimal intel. Afghan interpreters or local guides were unhelpful at this stage, either absent or reluctant to approach. Soldiers advanced in standard formation, lights cutting through the gloom of the cave's mouth, scanning for hostile fighters. No one anticipated facing a physical entity that dwarfed them all. Then it happened. A shape emerged from deeper in the tunnel, stepping into partial sunlight. The details vary slightly between tellers, but the essence remains consistent. Towering well beyond human norm, some put it at 12 feet, the figure was heavily muscled with thick red hair that fell around its broad shoulders. One soldier later recounted how its eyes appeared to reflect the light like an animal's might, while another swore its skin had pale, almost translucent quality from presumably living in the darkness. The giant brandished a massive spear, taller than any rifle or standard issue equipment. Before the soldiers could fully register what they faced, the figure lunged. Chaos ensued. Gunshots rang out, but the giant moved with startling speed for its bulk. Witnesses speak of a single thrust from the creature's spear impaling one soldier before he could even fire. That soldier's name remains undisclosed in official records, but some claim that the search and rescue operation was named in part to honor him. The rest of the patrol poured automatic and rifle fire at the giant. Rounds struck it multiple times, yet it remained standing for a terrifying few seconds before dropping to its knees and collapsing. The entire skirmish took under a minute, but the psychological impact would last far longer. Soldiers rushed to their comrade, but it was too late. The giant lay sprawled at the cave's entrance, blood mixing with the dust. Adrenaline high, the surviving soldiers kept their weapons trained, uncertain if more giants lurked in the darkness. A quick sweep revealed no additional creatures, just a labyrinth of tunnels extending beyond their flashlight beams. They radioed for air support and medical evacuation, but the conversation soon shifted to how they were supposed to extract something of this size. No standard body bag or stretcher would suffice. Some accounts mention hooking multiple cargo nets to the giant's limbs. Others talk of a specialized hoist. Regardless, a helicopter arrived, and with substantial manpower and rigging, the monstrous form was secured and flown out. Reports from the search team suggest they discovered multiple remains of the missing patrol inside the cave, consistent with the story that the giant had attacked them days prior. Indications that the victims had been forcibly dragged or consumed remain unverified, but rumors suggest that the giant may have possessed cannibalistic tendencies. If true, that would align with certain ancient narratives describing savage, flesh-eating giants. When the helicopter departed, the soldiers who stayed behind to wrap up the operation were left grappling with shock and grief. The confrontation challenged everything they'd been trained to handle. Insurgents and terror cells were expected foes. A giant that fit biblical or mythic descriptions was not. They carried their fallen comrade's body back, weighed down not only by the loss, but by a new awareness that something unimaginable had just crossed their path. That awareness would soon spread, despite official attempts at secrecy. Once the soldiers extracted, the operation's immediate priority shifted to sanitizing the site, verifying no additional giants were in the cave and securing any evidence. At this point, standard military procedure met a wholly abnormal reality. Soldiers confirmed that radio traffic became heavily encrypted, with orders to maintain utmost confidentiality about what they'd encountered. It is said that a specialized team, some describe them as intelligence officers or men in unmarked uniforms, arrived within hours to interview each soldier, photograph the cave, and confiscate any personal cameras or devices. Everyone was directed to sign non-disclosure agreements, reinforcing the gravity of the situation. The body of the fallen soldier was handled with solemn respect, while the giant's remains were loaded onto a separate transport rumored to be bound for a classified facility. Several witnesses recount disjointed debriefings, where commanding officers probed them about the giant's features, the nature of the fight, and any local warnings they might have heard prior. Some soldiers mentioned being asked about potential mythic references, as if the chain of command was cross-referencing the event with pre-existing files on anomalous creatures. This suggests that certain higher-ups either anticipated or at least considered the possibility that giant sightings were on record, albeit deeply hidden from general knowledge. Psychological support was offered, but at least a few participants felt it insufficient. How do you counsel a soldier traumatized not just by combat, but by an upending of reality? Their nightmares involve not typical war flashbacks, but the memory of a towering humanoid figure with a spear. A being that seemed torn from scripture or fable, yet bled and died under modern gunfire. Confidential chat boards or personal diaries reveal that some struggled to reconcile their beliefs with the cold fact that they had engaged a living giant. Others, often with religious backgrounds, found themselves re-examining biblical or ancient texts, seeing them in a literal truth they never previously considered. At the higher command level, the overriding concern likely revolved around controlling the narrative. Releasing news that a giant had been found and killed in an Afghan cave could spark a media and scientific uproar. Channels might face demands for evidence, calls for international research teams to examine the site, and potential diplomatic repercussions with the Afghan government. According to those who tried to speak publicly, they encountered stonewalling and, in some cases, veiled threats. The result was a clampdown so effective that mainstream outlets carried no mention of the event. Yet, the story refused to vanish among the rank and file. Soldiers on other missions heard a whispered account of the big man in the cave, and these whispers expanded to a network of veterans who shared improbable war stories over beers or online forums. The official hush only magnified the sense of wonder and dread, fueling speculation about how many more giants might lurk in the labyrinthine mountains. Some asked, was the Kandahar giant a sole survivor or a part of a hidden colony? Local Afghan interpreters or guides who had accompanied troops sometimes overheard bits of conversation. A few insisted that old tales of cannibal giants in remote mountain enclaves had circulated among their elders, usually dismissed as relics of a pre-Islamic past. Now, they saw these stories in a new light. Yet, aside from hushed personal accounts, no formal Afghan record exists that openly corroborates the confrontation, reinforcing the sense that official suppression extended beyond the foreign troops to local authorities. Meanwhile, the unit that lost a soldier in the fight returned to their base carrying a double burden: the grief of losing a comrade and the knowledge of an inhumane foe. Their official reports presumably sanitized references to a large hostile occupant in the cave, leaving out the monstrous dimensions. But in private, they spoke a truth that no official channel would confirm: that they'd battled a red-haired giant who matched biblical or archaic descriptions with unsettling precision. The notion of giants, particularly those with extra digits or ruddy hair, appears repeatedly in biblical accounts and other ancient documents. The Old Testament's Book of Numbers mentions entire tribes of giants, called the Anakim and Emim, said to inhabit Canaan. Deuteronomy references King Og of Bashan, whose massive bed offered proof of his extraordinary size. The famous Goliath, brought down by David, is described at around 9 feet tall, though some texts suggest even greater heights. One lesser-known biblical figure, a giant named Lami, is sometimes referenced for having 6 fingers or toes on each limb. To see parallels in the Kandahar giant's reported anatomy, 6 digits and a formidable size heightens the sense that these biblical giants weren't just metaphorical. For believers, the event in Kandahar might represent the survival of ancient lineages that once roamed the Near East and beyond. If these biblical texts carry literal truth, perhaps a few scattered groups remained in secret enclaves, hidden by geography and time. Beyond the Judeo-Christian tradition, other ancient cultures also recorded giant encounters. Greek myth references titans and cyclops. Norse tales speak of Jotnar, The presence of large, sometimes cannibalistic humanoids threads through numerous global legends. Modern anthropology typically categorizes these as symbolic narratives or cultural allegories. But the Giant of Kandahar might force a radical re-evaluation that at least one of these lineages persisted into the 21st century. For those who experienced the confrontation, the biblical angle added a chilling layer. Some claim the creature's roar or the horrifying scene of a speared comrade felt reminiscent of Old Testament battles, where heroic figures clashed with massive opponents. Others found themselves flipping through their scripture after returning to base, trying to find references that matched the giant's features. The concept of a literal, living Nephilim, or Anakim, no longer seemed far-fetched. Critics might note that biblical giants are often described as significantly tall, but not always surpassing the 10 or 12-foot mark. Yet for soldiers who saw it in person, the difference between 9 feet or 12 feet is academic. It towered over them, an indomitable presence that overshadowed any normal human size. The details, red hair, extra fingers, only reinforced the parallels to biblical or extra-biblical traditions describing monstrous giants with distinctive characteristics, sometimes connected to fallen angels or other supernatural origins. In short, the biblical resonance of the Kandahar giant matters for two reasons. First, it underscores the possibility that ancient textual references to giants were not merely symbolic, but historically anchored. Second, it ties the Afghan incident to a larger tapestry of recorded human-giant interactions, bridging faith-based narratives and contemporary testimony from frontline soldiers. If biblical lore finds a living echo in a war-torn Afghan cave, what other corners of scripture might hold more literal truths than previously imagined? While biblical parallels fascinate outsiders, Afghanistan itself brims with narratives that never made it into Western texts. In remote regions, particularly mountainous districts, stories can linger for centuries via oral tradition. Some revolve around jinn, beings formed of smokeless fire in Islamic belief, capable of good or ill. But older, more localized tales, sometimes describing large, brutal beings haunting cave systems or high peaks, punishing intruders and occasionally attacking livestock or even people who wander too far. It's unclear how widespread such giant-related legends are within Kandahar specifically, as most references remain tribal knowledge or ephemeral whispers. Still, returning soldiers have mentioned older villagers sharing cryptic warnings about venturing into certain ravines at night. Could it be that these communities recognize a persistent threat, something that once claimed travelers or shepherds, and learned to steer clear? If so, these warnings might have seemed like simple folklore to Western troops until a missing patrol proved them correct. The giant's presence in Afghanistan might also reflect older cultural exchange. The region was historically a crossroads. Greek, Persian, Indian, and Mongol influences all passed through. Myths and legends could blend, leading to a mix of Islamic and pre-Islamic ideas. Some of these ideas could easily incorporate giant narratives, especially if actual encounters, however rare, seeded the stories. Local stories often highlight cannibal giants or demonic cave dwellers that occasionally demanded tributes. While mainstream Afghan society, shaped by Islamic teachings, might dismiss or reinterpret such tales, rural pockets could maintain them as living lore. Indeed, if a giant or clan of giants survived in an isolated mountain labyrinth, it might avoid detection by preying sporadically, fueling rumors without leaving consistent evidence for modern investigators. Confronted by the Kandahar giant, the foreign troops effectively validated a piece of local knowledge that had never been taken seriously at an official level. This realization might have spurred intelligence agencies or specialized military divisions to revisit old tribal myths, searching for leads on other hidden phenomena. Some soldiers even recount hearing about hush-hush programs to systemically chart cave complexes around Kandahar, using advanced imaging to locate unusual life signs or suspiciously large tunnels. Whether they found more giants is uncertain, but the initiative underscores how one shocking discovery can redirect an entire military's approach to an operational environment. The event in Kandahar does not exist in isolation. Across continents, scattered legends and sporadic modern anecdotes point to possible giant encounters. In North America, certain tribes have oral histories about red-haired giants occupying caves, at times engaging in warfare with indigenous peoples. In the Solomon Islands, locals speak of large bushmen said to abduct villagers. While mainstream academics rarely endorse these stories as literal, the parallels remain striking. Some enthusiasts and researchers compile these accounts, noting consistent themes. Giants with red or auburn hair, living primarily underground or in remote and mountainous regions, occasionally violent or cannibalistic. The involvement of an archaic weapon like the spear described in Kandahar further ties this incident to older, more primal forms of combat. For those who track such narratives, the alleged Afghan confrontation is seen as the modern piece of evidence that elevates giant lore from conspiracy to reality. Skeptics might ask where the fossils or skeletal remains are. Proponents point out that the giant in Kandahar was promptly removed for classified study, much as other alleged giant skeletons have vanished into private collections or been seized by certain institutions throughout history. If there's a pattern of suppression, official or unofficial, it could explain the scarcity of open source data despite frequent local rumors. Does the Kandahar event prove a worldwide hidden population of giants? Not necessarily, but it provides a plausible anchor for those believing that multiple isolated groups could survive in the planet's least accessible areas. Afghanistan's labyrinth cave networks, the Amazon's uncharted depths, or even Siberia's vast tundra might harbor beings that remain undiscovered. The synergy of local legends, biblical or mythic parallels, and field testimonies from soldiers weave a narrative that's difficult to dismiss outright. From a scientific perspective, a living giant raises numerous questions. How would it maintain its energy requirements in a relatively sparse environment like Afghanistan? Would it rely on a cave ecosystem, hunting wild goats or possibly ambushing human passersby? Could it have advanced camouflage or adaptation to the climate? And how would it remain genetically stable if part of a tiny, isolated population? For the military, discovering a giant that can kill an armed soldier with a spear puts a new spin on threat assessment. If others of its kind existed, they might be scattered in areas no recon team had the thought to investigate. Post-encounter procedures might include specialized protocols for dealing with an anomalous biological entity, ensuring squads carry enough firepower and coordination to neutralize an oversized adversary. The event would also prompt intelligence officers to comb through local lore for possible references to similar threats. On a broader scale, the revelation that a biblical-style giant roams a war zone begs the question about alliances with local populations. Could certain tribes knowingly or unknowingly shield such beings? Could insurgent groups exploit the presence of a giant to sow fear or confusion? Though no direct evidence suggests collaboration between any giant and human factions, the mere concept reveals the complexity that arises when mythic-seeming creatures prove real. Normal counterinsurgency protocols never accounted for a possible race of extremely tall, powerful beings. If a single giant existed, there might be broader ramifications for evolutionary biology. This entity could be a hominid offshoot or an ancient line that branched away from the Homo sapiens thousands of years ago. Genetic analysis would be of prime interest, potentially revealing whether it carried certain archaic DNA from known hominids like Neanderthals or Denisovans, or if it represented an altogether unknown line. The possibility that older biblical references correspond to genuine, ongoing survival of such a lineage would be revolutionary. Lastly, the concept of operational secrecy plays a pivotal role. A government might keep the truth under wraps to prevent public upheaval or to study the being's biology for a strategic advantage. The technology gleaned from analyzing a giant's bone density or muscle structure could theoretically lead to breakthroughs in soldier endurance or prosthetic design. The impetus for secrecy becomes not just about controlling information, but also about leveraging any scientific or military edge gleaned from this discovery. The claim that multiple soldiers saw this giant, engaged in combat, and then assisted in its extraction implies a fairly large pool of potential eyewitnesses. Over time, some have shared consistent details. Height, the spear, the red hair, the extra digits, and the raw physical power the creature displayed. They speak of the cargo nets used to hoist the body, the stench that clung to it, and the oppressive silence that followed the firefight. Others within the military are said to remain skeptical. They argue that stress can warp perception, especially in dimly lit environments with adrenaline pumping. Yet the overwhelming uniformity of accounts from the immediate participants challenges that skepticism. If one soldier sees an illusion, that's plausible. But an entire patrol corroborating the same monstrous being suggests a genuine event. Moreover, a missing patrol's gear and the casualties found in the cave reinforce the story's grim authenticity. At an institutional level, debate might simmer among high-ranking officials and researchers with clearance. Some might push to release partial truth, citing scientific value, while others prefer total secrecy, fearing the public panic or academic disruption. Soldiers retelling the story among themselves find it cathartic to share their experiences, even if official records never mention a giant. In certain circles, the giant of Kandahar has become almost a cautionary tale, lest we assume all threats are human-sized or easily cataloged. The real heartbreak lies with the family of the soldier who reportedly died. Official communications may have indicated an insurgent kill, never revealing the extraordinary nature of the confrontation. The soldier's name remains largely unspoken, withheld from public. Veterans who knew him say that acknowledging the giant's role would honor the unique bravery required to face such a monstrous foe. Yet the official stance denies any mention of the truth. It's a tension at the intersection of duty, secrecy, and the deepest kind of reality shift imaginable. If a living giant walked the mountains of Kandahar, it doesn't just challenge a handful of soldiers. It challenges the entire narrative humanity constructs about our world. We pride ourselves on exploration, satellites that map every inch of the globe, sophisticated research on human evolution, and an assumption that all large land creatures are well documented. Yet, this incident defies each assumption, revealing cracks in our collective self-assurance. One can only imagine how far the ramifications stretch. The giant of Kandahar might unify threads between biblical references, global folklore, and sporadic modern sightings from other war zones or uncharted wildernesses. If a small population remains scattered in remote pockets, be it Afghanistan, the Himalayas, or the Amazon, each would have a unique cultural dimension, shaped by local conditions and survival strategies. War, ironically, might flush them out of hiding, forcing contact that ends tragically, as the Kandahar event suggests. Such an occurrence also begs moral questions. If these beings are indeed an offshoot of humanity, do they have rights or claims to the land they inhabit? If the event was truly an act of self-defense on both sides, the moral and ethical complexities run deep. The soldier who died was presumably protecting his squad, but the giant might have viewed them as invasive predators disturbing its domain. The clash highlights how little we understand about potential non-human intelligence or hominid branches that might share the planet. In the short term, however, none of these philosophical debates will see the public light if secrecy prevails. The official stance might remain silent, focusing on harnessing knowledge from any retrieved remains. Meanwhile, soldiers who participated in the fight or in the cleanup effort have their worldview permanently altered, often left with more questions than answers. We've traversed the rugged mountains of Kandahar, reconstructed the fatal meeting between American troops and an entity too large and ferocious to be explained by conventional science, and connected these events to the tapestry of giant lore that spans biblical passage and global myth. If the testimonies hold true, and the giant of Kandahar stands as living proof that humanity's ancient stories might not be mere allegories, but echoes of real, if rare, beings. From the vantage point of soldiers who fought that day, the event was no metaphor. It cost a comrade's life, demanded every ounce of bravery and training, and ended with a secretive helicopter extraction that official records omit. For them, and for those who learned of their experience, the existence of a red-haired giant with a spear is an undeniable reality, a piece of knowledge that shattered the normal boundaries of a war zone, thrust them into a realm once reserved for old scriptures and tribal legends. The implications ripple outward. Anthropologists, if ever granted access to the remains, might rewrite chapters of evolutionary theory. Theologians might find renewed context for biblical references to giant clans. Military strategists might incorporate the possibility, however slim, of encountering unknown life forms in remote areas. At the deepest level, the event invites reflection on our planet's capacity to harbor secrets in the digital age. Perhaps the Earth is not so small or so fully charted as we like to imagine. Perhaps entire genealogies from antiquity yet survive where few venture. Yet official silence looms. No press releases or declassified reports confirm the giant's demise. And families of those who died may never learn the extraordinary details. Rumors swirl in veteran circles, supported by multiple overlapping narratives that all converge on the same essential facts. In that sense, the Giant of Kandahar remains a hidden pivot point between myth and contemporary reality, bridging a gap rarely crossed. Thank you for listening. You've heard the accounts, the cultural and biblical echoes, and the reason so many hold this event to be genuine. If it is, indeed, a true story, then the lines between myth and reality grow remarkably thin. You've been listening to Midnight Signals, where we continue to blur the lines between myth and reality. I'm Russ Chamberlain, and I'm grateful for your time and your open mind. Perhaps there are more giants out there, lurking in other hidden ranges or deep underground labyrinths, waiting for another accidental discovery. Until next time, stay curious and remember that even the most ancient legends might walk among us, hidden in the dark recesses of our world.